Will you pray with me? God of each and every one of us, and God of every person you will bring into our lives this day and every day, we give you thanks for this day, this magnificent pause in the middle of the busyness of our lives, when we can reflect on your love of us, our love of you, and the many ways you act in this world. So God, through the power of your Holy Spirit, I ask that you make these words of my mouth and these meditations of my heart your words and your meditations, through Christ our Lord. Amen. The picture that will be up on the screen in just a moment here is a picture of Patty and I having lunch in Orlando with some dear friends of ours. You can tell it's Orlando because of the sweat on our foreheads and faces, sort of like being in Ohio this week, right? You know, so we've gone through some PTSD from our 15 years in Florida back here this week. But the people in this picture, to Patty's right, to your left, is Melody and Verlin Fosner, and Mary Lee Downey is the other person at the table. Mary Lee, leads a ministry in Orlando that is gaining great momentum around Florida and even nationally, called Hope Partnership. And she is a person that has spent her life trying to alleviate homelessness by gradually taking over decrepit motels and fixing them up so that they could provide housing for people in transition from homelessness to a more productive life. The Fosners are founders of what's called the Dinner Church Collective in Seattle. They're generally regarded, Verlin and Melody, are generally regarded as the key gurus, the chief experts on a ministry called Dinner Church. Dinner Church began in Seattle as Verlin and Melody and their Seattle congregation were wrestling with what they could do to reverse a long downward slide of the church. They searched for a way that would be biblical, it would be focused on evangelism, and it would be consistent with the ministry of Jesus. After a lot of trial and error, we're talking years here, they looked at how Jesus spent his time when he was here on earth with us. And what they realized was that a typical day in the life of Jesus was out in the community healing people and then having dinner in the evenings where he would teach amongst people that society thought were the outcasts of society. Well, from that study emerged Dinner Church. It's a free meal that's offered every week on the same night at the same time in different locations around the community. Now, generally, these locations are some of the poorest and the most underserved neighborhoods in any particular city. The dinners are specifically not held at the church. They're held out in the community. At the dinner, people are fed full, healthy meals. They can come back and get as many helpings as they want to get. And some point during the evening, a member of the group, the sponsoring group, the organization, the church, will get up and tell a gospel story of Jesus. Now, they won't read the story. They'll literally tell it and then tell something that's happened in their own lives that relates directly to the story. That whole part of the evening lasts maybe 10 minutes. And that is followed by people sitting around and talking about what they've heard around the tables. Now, everybody that works at the Dinner Church are expected to sit at the tables with the people from the community and engage in these conversations. It's a radical departure from what we have known as church. Now, this picture was taken during a particularly busy time for Melody and Verlin and Patty and I. We're discussing on that particular lunch with Mary Lee an idea that Verlin had in Seattle that Mary Lee had also had in Orlando, which was to take used shipping containers, you know, the huge containers on ships, and repurpose them into housing for folks that needed some form of transitional housing. Well, I had first met Verlin about a year prior to this picture. He was at Grace Church in Cape Coral, and he was there doing a seminar on his experiences with Dinner Church and what it had meant to their 85-year-old Seattle church. Well, Verlin and I hit it off in a lot of ways immediately, the same way that Melody and Patty hit it off a little later. And in partnership with Verlin and Melody and Fresh Expressions US, in the Florida conference, we started 54 dinner churches in 2018. Now, some interesting things happened when we started those dinner churches. Now, you can imagine the initial questions we got from churches about starting these. Okay, how are we going to pay for this? This is always a big one, right? Then, oh, where will we find the volunteers? And the one that always cut my heart. You know, none of these people are ever going to show up in Sunday worship, so why are we doing this? A year into this program, the church has all reported that money was showing up from surprising places, sometimes from people in the congregation that were just waiting for the church to do something that had an impact in the world. At every single one of those churches, Sunday attendance went up, even though none of the people that were attending the dinner churches came to Sunday worship. But the word got out that this was a church actually doing something in the name of Jesus. And most amazingly, we had more volunteers than we knew what to do with. We had to create jobs for people. Some of the volunteers were people that had begun as the people receiving the meals. It's an amazing, amazing story. The fun part of it for me was that at each dinner church, there were all of these volunteers that would give up a day of their week to participate. You know, we had to have people that prepared the meal. We had to have people that would set up the room. We had to recruit somebody to give the message each week. And yet, that was just never a problem. All of these people offering themselves in the name of Jesus. There were a lot of small jobs, but when they were combined, it ended up being a huge ministry in the name of Jesus. You know, in today's text, the Apostle Peter is the central human character in this text. But there are a whole bunch of other faithful people that make these two healings possible. And clearly, this is an action by God through the Holy Spirit to confirm Jesus' promise to the disciples that his ministry would continue through the Holy Spirit. Peter is in Lydda, which is about 25 miles northeast of Jerusalem. Peter's among believers there. And we're told Aeneas had been paralyzed for 8 years, and he is also there in Lydda. Peter simply says to him, Jesus Christ heals you, get up, and make your bed. Which Aeneas does to the chagrin of thousands of young people that have heard that same word from their parents week after week. We're told that this healing sparks belief in Jesus in all of Lydda. and Sharon, which is a nearby community. As the story continues, we meet Tabitha, or Dorcas, who has died in Joppa, which is about 12 miles south of Lydda. We hear the two disciples run to Peter and ask him to come to Joppa. When he arrives, Peter encounters widows near Tabitha, showing him their clothes, which Tabitha has made. Peter orders the people out, prays, and then commands her to get up. She sees Peter, sits up, and he helps her stand. Again, we're told that this resurrection caused many to believe. Now, in an interesting little side note, we get this verse 33, where we're told that Peter stays in Joppa with a tanner named Simon. Now, think of the people in this story that support the ministry and Peter's actions through the Holy Spirit. There's disciples who run to get Peter. 12 miles they walk and run to get him. There are the people who prepared Tabitha's body and placed her in that upper room. There are the widows there who are mourning with those who loved Tabitha. And they're displaying the clothes that prove Tabitha's faithfulness because they're clothes that she had made. There's Simon the tanner who provides housing and hospitality for Peter. Lots of people doing lots of small acts so that God's power will be made known in those two areas. We live in a society where more is better, right? More money, more house, more power, more toys, more social media followers. In life, our culture seems to say bigger is better. But God often works through small things. A shepherd boy with a sling. A baby born in a stable, a faithful dressmaker, two disciples willing to run and walk 12 miles to help in a healing. In Luke 22:26, Jesus tells us the greatest among you must become like the youngest and the leader like one who serves. How often does Jesus remind us of this? When he washes the disciples' feet, when he eats with sinners, when he's out touching and healing lepers, when he's talking with and interacting with all of the people that society says you shouldn't touch, you shouldn't go near. Jesus gets even more specific in Matthew 25, where we're told that if we want to be known by Jesus on the great day of judgment, it won't be because we had a huge portfolio or expensive cars or designer clothes. It will be because we saw the hungry and gave them food. We saw the thirsty and gave them something to drink. We saw the stranger and welcomed them. We saw the naked and gave them clothing. We saw the sick and took care of them. We saw the imprisoned and visited them. It's clear in the words of Jesus and in the actions of Jesus that we are called to serve wherever, whenever, and to whomever he puts into our lives. So how can we, us everyday folks, put Jesus' teaching and examples into action? Let me give you a few tips or hints here. First one, I think, is to be open to opportunities. I remember a time when God taught me never to walk by an opportunity for ministry. Some of you might remember several years ago when the offices of the West Ohio Conference and the two Columbus districts at that time were in what was then the Motorist Mutual building down on Broad Street. I was to be part of a meeting there one day. I was actually supposed to make a presentation there. And hustling to this church meeting where I'm thinking about the presentation I've got to give, and I see a homeless person approaching me, and I make certain I don't make eye contact and walk right by him. Through that entire meeting, I found myself asking the question, what kind of a pastor are you going to be? What kind of a Christ follower are you that you walked right by this person out on the street? When the meeting ended, I couldn't get out of the room and out of the building fast enough to go back and see if that man was still there. He was not. That moment has been in my head for 30 plus years, nudging me constantly when I encounter someone in need. Be open to opportunities. Another thing that this story teaches us is to stay in your giftedness. Stay in your giftedness. We don't hear any place else in Scripture about Tabitha. But from this story, it's clear she knew her giftedness. She took literally Jesus' teaching to clothe the naked. We're told that she made the tunics of the women that are gathered there. And by extension, I've got to believe that not only did she make the clothing for the widows, but probably for their orphaned children or for other orphaned children. The word that's used to identify her in this story is only used once in the whole Bible. Once. The word is mathatria. Mathatria means disciple, but it is the only place in Scripture that the feminine of that word appears. She alone, in all of Scripture, has that name. What has God gifted you to do well? Some things that you find easy to do, that you enjoy doing. Maybe things that others tell you seem natural to you. Those things are probably your giftedness. We're supposed to have joy in the work we do for the Lord. Also remember that no job is too small. No job in God's kingdom is too small. Heather Evans was one of my team members in that Fresh Expressions Dinner Church work in Florida. Heather's one of those priceless servants who only wants to serve God. As the director of Reach and Send Ministries at Grace Church, in fact, it was Heather who had invited me to the meeting where I met Verlin for the first time. Heather leads their dinner church ministry and also a ministry called Exceptional Entrepreneurs. Now, Exceptional Entrepreneurs are special needs adults where they have a facility where they design and make, under the guidance of mentors in the program, the special needs people design, make, and sell items in the community. And some of them are absolutely spectacular. Now, I remember connecting the first time with Heather after Hurricane Irma. We were out in the intense heat that followed that. Of course, nobody had any power. We just drove around neighborhoods passing out water and ice to anyone who we could find. It wasn't part of her job description. It just needed to be done. at any of the Grace Dinner churches, you'll find Heather doing whatever needs to be done. From carrying trash, to serving food, to simply sitting down and laughing with people that don't have much to laugh about in their lives. I remembered that afternoon with Heather as I was watching and choking up and crying over the news from Texas this week. When we encounter a natural disaster like that, when we hear the people grieving the loss of friends and children and parents, we wonder, where can we find hope? I find my hope in the stories of courage that emerge from something like this. Like Coast Guard swimmer Scott Ruskin, who's credited with saving 160 people from Camp Mystic. Later, I'm sure we'll hear stories of countless others who responded to do what they could do during this time. Now is a time to hold dear the people that sustained loss, to hold them and hug them even from a distance, to do what we can to support the people there. Analysis and recriminations, those can come later. Right now, as the people of God, we need to support those folks. Another thing we can do if we want to be a servant of God doing what needs to be done is to be willing to grow. There's an interesting tidbit at the end of this story. In verse 43, we're told that Peter stayed in Joppa for some time with a certain Simon, a tanner. Now, because tanners worked with dead animals and skins, they were ritually unclean. They were unable to worship or to be in touch with anyone who wanted to stay pure. Yet here is Peter, the great traditionalist of the faith, staying in the home of one who is ritually unclean. To me, this little verse is dropped in there to show us that we all need to grow, because it shows Peter growing. What growth needs to happen in you so that you can serve where God needs you to serve? Quick survey. How many of you can remember three sermons that changed your life? Yeah, I thought. To all of the preachers here, oh yeah. Okay. Now, how many of you can remember or name three people that helped change your life? Right. In Chhatapur, Nepal, at the Shanta Bhawan, which stands for Palace of Peace Clinic, there's a simple plaque that reads the Deval Fellowship Hall. It was built in the 1970s with a place for a library, a reading room, and a worship center. It was named for Dr. Ezra Deval and his wife, Frances. That's Ezra and Frances in the picture. They served as medical missionaries at that hospital for many years. Ezra was a surgeon, Francis was a nurse. Ezra came from a remarkable Friends missionary family that came out of the Ohio yearly meeting. His sister, Catherine, ministered in India for 20 years with her husband, Everett, who, when they returned from India, he returned to become president of Malone College in Canton. They and their oldest brother, Charles, were born of two parents who were both doctors, their mother and their father, in China. Now, prior to his work in Nepal, Ezra had served in China with his brother Charles, and that's Charles with his wife Lenora. Charles was a missionary, a minister, a teacher, and a botanist. World War II and the communist takeover of China meant that they and their families had to leave China and return to the United States. Several years later, Charles was called back in missionary service to Taiwan, where the Chinese expatriates had settled. In Taiwan, in the years of his ministry there, Charles planted 31 churches. A few years later, Ezra was sent to India to lead a medical mission at the Shantabawan Clinic, where he also led hundreds to believe in Jesus. Famous and remarkable as their stories are, there's another part to this story. The Duvall family had received a farm called Sunny Slope that's up in Marengo, Ohio. After their parents died when they were very young, I think Charles was maybe 17, so the kids would have been 17, 14, and 11 when their parents died. Now, after being forced out of China, both Charles and Ezra wanted to go back in the mission field, but they needed financial support. In stepped a good and faithful friend of theirs, Lawrence Westbrook, who told them, "I'm not called to be a missionary, but I can run a farm. You go do your mission work. I'll see to it that the farm is cared for and its profits will support your mission work." Today in this story have special meaning for me. Today would have been my mother's 99th birthday. My given first name is Charles. I'm named for Charles Duvall. And Lawrence Westbrook was my maternal grandfather. He is in the back row in the picture you see. That's he and my grandma Westbrook at my mother and father's wedding in 1946. It's my mom and dad in the front row. This picture comes shortly before Lawrence had made his offer to Charles and Ezra. The picture is actually from a video, extracted from a video, that Ezra Duvall took at my parents' wedding. My grandfather, Lawrence, was one of those people that shaped me as a Christian. He was a faithful man who knew his giftedness and who simply did his part for God's work. So may we all. Will you pray with me? O God, of each of us and every person that comes into our lives, we give you thanks that you have so gifted each of us that we have all that we need to do the work that you need done in this world. So, Lord, give us the courage, give us the humility, and give us the power of your Holy Spirit that we might see the work that you need done and do it. All this we ask, trusting in the power and the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Remember to study God's word every day. That way God can give you instruction on your life. Pray every day and include listening to God every day so that God can help direct your life. And do everything you can every day to stay in a loving relationship with all the people God brings into your life. And God will take care of you as though God has nothing better to do. Go in peace. Amen.